Okay, this coming Shabbos, we get the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayeshev. I first of all want to apologize and thank Dr. Twersky, who pointed out to me last week that we had originally uploaded the wrong shir. The shir has been corrected, and I thank her for her feedback, and for all of you for joining us for these wonderful shiurim. It's an opportunity to share Torah in public is a great, great source of satisfaction, and your feedback on our Divrei Torah are also always very much appreciated. Anyway, getting back to the parsha of Parshas Vayeshev, we open up with Yaakov Avinu Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv Eretz Canaan. Yaakov Avinu settles in the land of his forefathers, and Rashi notes the contrast between Esav's history, which is marked in the short form at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, with those of Yaakov, whose travels and travails are spelled in painstaking detail. Now, Rav Shaul Yisraeli Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the late great Rav of Merkaz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harav, in Yerushalayim, Rav Yisraeli explains that Esav's rise was quick. Immediately after meeting with Yaakov Avinu, Esav goes back to Seir, and he begins to develop his nation. Yaakov, in contrast, needs further development, and learns of the lessons of internal jealousy, of famine, and of Egyptian politics, and ultimately in the slavery, in order for him to emerge as a vibrant nation of Klal Yisrael. Says Rav Shaul Yisraeli, we learn a valuable lesson from here. To become a simple and evil nation takes no real effort. To emerge as Yisrael, to emerge as an Am Yisrael, whether as a nation, or even as a nation on our land, needs tests and retests, so that we can be a nation under Hashem indivisible. It's interesting to point out that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal is quoted as having pointed out the same thing after Akedas Yitzchak. The Torah tells us that Vayhi Acharei HaDvarim HaEle, after the story of the Akedah, we read about the stories that the lineage of Milcah and Nahor. And Rav Soloveitchik asks the question, why does this become so essential? And my dear mentor, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, used to point out to us, why is it also read on Rosh Hashanah? So Rabbi Schachter quoted Rav Soloveitchik, who explained that Beshuvo Mehara Moriah Haya Avram Mehara V'Omer, after the episode of Hara Moriah, Avram Avinu was thinking. And what was he thinking about? He realized that there was an Utz and a Butz, there was a Kemuel, all sorts of children born to Nahor and to Milcah. But there was going to be no value. There was nothing that came into it. And so therefore, there was no energy to come out of it. And we have a responsibility in life to make sure that we don't only live to raise the next generation, but to raise them to do and be great things. And thus the Avos, whether it's Avram, whether it's Yitzchak, whether it's Yaakov, all go through episodes and trials and travails as their counterparts, whether it be Nahor, or whether it be Yishmael, or whether it be Esav, all of them also raise nations. But the difference is, they don't raise them to destiny. We do raise ourselves to destiny. We raise our next generation to become great. And that doesn't come by sitting by and having no challenges in life. That comes about that the secret of Am Yisrael is the fact that we handle our challenges head on, and we become great within the process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that energy and to keep us focused within that regard. Anyway, we read about how Yosef was 17. Vayave Yosef es dibasam ra'aviyam. Yosef brings the slander of the brothers to their father. Says Sforno notes that this also serves as the reason for Galus Bayesheni, and that it caused Senas Chinam. Rav Gifter Zatzal added that this teaches us a valuable lesson about families in the Jewish nation. From the time that Yaakov Avinu completed his family, they set the tone for the future nation. This is also why, when there is a challenge in the family, Umake Aviv V'Imo, the Rambam writes, Mos Yumas, when the Torah uses the language that somebody who hits his parent should certainly receive the death penalty, it's not disproportionate, for as the Rambam explains, we treat it very severely. It's a challenge to the order and the structure of Am Yisrael. The order and structure of Am Yisrael requires us to be individuals, to live in families, and then to grow beyond families into a nation. I was thinking that that may be why, when it comes to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, we note, at least in the Torah, that the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol is to achieve kapara on multiple levels. V'chiper ba'ado, Uvad Beso, Uvad Kol Kal Yisrael. The concept of the tshuva that we engage in has to always be where we fail to identify ourselves in each of those realms. And we all have a responsibility to recognize where we belong in all of them. Not to overstep our boundaries, as Yosef did, but not to understep them as well, to recognize that we are individuals who play roles in bigger contexts. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef to Dothan, to Shechem, and Yosef winds up in Dothan lost. The Torah tells us, a mysterious man found him, and Rashi tells us that this man was the Malach Gavriel. And yet in last week's parsha, when it's Vayivasa Yaakov Levado Vayayavik Ish Imo, there the Malach that was identified was the Sarosh Al Esav. How could it be that the same word Ish is used for both the good Malach and the bad Malach? And how do we know when we are supposed to highlight which of the two Malachim? Maybe this time it was Sarosh Al Esav. Maybe he was the better one. So the sons of Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha explained that when he comes to engage in a chesed, then he must be a malach shel chesed. But when he comes to fight, then it must be Sarosh Al Esav. That's what Sarosh Al Esav does. So when an individual proceeds as a melech shel chesed, or as a malach shel chesed, and we know who and what they are, and what we can expect of them as a result. When we're not sure, that's where all our trouble begins. And so thus, Vayimsa'yu Ish, when the Malach Gavriel came along, and it was evident what he was doing, he was engaging in chesed of helping Yosef figure out where and how he was, we knew that he was acting from the good side. Anyway, the brothers see that Yosef is coming, and they make a decision. We're going to go ahead and we're going to kill him. And the Torah tells us, Vayishmaru Uvein Vayatzileu Miyandam Vayomer Lo Nakenu Nafesh. Reuven heard, and he saved Yosef, and he said, we're not going to kill him. We are not going to do anything of the sort. And the Medrash notes that had Reuven known what the Torah would have recorded about him, he would have carried Yosef home with him on his shoulders. So Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal noted that Reuven did not know the depth of the mitzvah that he was doing, nor did he know its reward. Because had he known the seriousness of his action, he would have gone even further to save Yosef. He knew he was doing the right thing, saving Yosef. He didn't understand how far he had to go, where the nature was. Rabbi Yaakov adds that we don't appreciate the value of our good deeds when we do them. We know that we're doing good things, but we really don't understand just how far the impact of what we're doing is going to be achieved. It's sort of like what Rav Kook Zatzal comments when he states, Elokai ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. Until you created me, I didn't realize that I had a purpose in life. Sometimes we don't even know that not only are our deeds valuable, we are valuable. We have a responsibility to store up our actions and see value in them, even before their value becomes overtly apparent. After the selling of Yosef, we read of the famous episode of Yehuda and Tamar. And as the episode proceeds, Tamar becomes pregnant, they're about to kill her, and she says, Hakerna, she says to the people, check it out, have Yehuda check it out, and ask him, you know, whose walking stick this is, whose chosam upsilos these are. And Yehuda's response is, Tzadka mimeni, she's right, Tzadka, and mimeni it came from me. And Rashi notes that Yehuda noted that Hashem suspended his bechira in order to get him to serve a prostitute. Now, how are we to understand Hashem's decision to suspend Bechira? That's not the style of God. So Moreno, Arav Shechter Shlita, would often explain to us that the Gemara notes that there are three for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds a tear every day. The first example, the Gemara says, is that one who stays in learning and shouldn't stay in learning. You should go to work. The second is those who go to work, and they shouldn't. They should be sitting in yeshiva. But the third, says the Gemara, are those who are leaders. They are who are mizgoyin ala tzibur. They are parnasim ha mizgoyin ala tzibur. Those who are too haughty on the tzibur. And so therefore the Gemara notes that a good leader, the way to get out of the parnas, who's mizgoyin ala tzibur, is to make sure that every parnas has skeletons in his background. Right, he should have a certain degree of something whereby he has a certain challenge. And the Rambam begins Hilchos Ishus by noting that before Matan Torah, the idea of prostitution was technically halachically okay. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yehuda episode, says Rav Schachter, in order to demonstrate that power can corrupt one's own personal values. And this was going to serve to be an important lesson for David HaMelech, who would also have a kupa shel shratzim around his neck based on his own lineage. It would also serve as future Jews who serve in power positions until today. Ein bayis asher ein chamis. There's no such thing as having a house where there's no challenge. And sometimes being a leader of the Jewish people demands that we have to know that there is a kupa shel shratzim. It helps keep us from becoming too gaivadik. That doesn't mean we need to create it for ourselves. Just because somebody has something in the background doesn't mean he won't make a wonderful leader. Anyway, Yosef finds himself in the middle of Mitzrayim. Vayara donav ki Hashem ito, and his master Potiphar discovers that Hashem is with him. V'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem matzliach biyado. Whatever he does, God is matzliach. Now, how did Potiphar, a Oved Avodah Zarah, an idolater, see that whatever Yosef did, Hashem saw to his success? So Rav Meir Twersky Shalita explained that Yosef had to be constantly creating Kiddush Hashem. We find that that's indeed the case, because he does declare often, Biladai. And part of the awareness of one's belief in Hashem becomes apparent when he creates a Kiddush Hashem in business in the same way that he does in his religious activities. The awareness when in these endeavors protects one when he's facing spiritual challenges there too. Whether one is in the operating theater, whether one is meeting in a business deal, whether one is sitting in a Beis Medrash or is in a community chest office, a person needs to know that it's Bil Adai. It's not because of me. It's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength. I have a wonderful friend who always greets and deals with every single problem by beginning with the phrase, Hashem's Chesed. It's Hashem's Chesed. And he's wonderful. And it helps him a lot. And nobody knew this better than Yosef HaTzadik. Nobody understood how important it is to realize that it's not about us and what we're granted, but rather it's about doing Avodas Hashem. My dear friend and wiser colleague, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, pointed this out recently to a bunch of young musmachim, who he turned around and noted the best success in Yanei HaTzibur comes about when a person realizes Biladai, when a person realizes that whatever happens, it's not because of me. These are opportunities for Avodas Hashem. That's true in terms of Hanhaga Al HaTzibur. It's true in terms of Jewish leadership, but it's also true in terms of any individual opportunity to be Mekadeshim Shemayim, to sanctify God's name in public. It comes about when we don't declare it's because of our greatness, but rather Biladai. We end this towards the end of the parsha. We read about Yosef's experiences in prison and the episode of the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim. The Torah tells us, Chatu Mashkei Melech Mitzrayim Baha'ufel Adonaihem LeMelech Mitzrayim. The Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim had sinned to their master, the king of Mitzrayim. Both chiefs had erred in the way that they focused too much on being a chief while being derelict in their duties of the charges under them. Now, what demonstrated to Yosef what their future fates would be and how they would be so different? So Rav Nissen Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Alpert Zatzal, suggested that the difference was that in his dream, the Sarah Mashkim took responsibility. In other words, instead of what happened in terms of the episode, the Sarah Mashkim, in his dream, he was the active one. He takes care of every aspect of his job personally. The Sarah Ofim, in his dream, just stands by. He just is there. He's in the storyline. And so therefore, Yosef knew the Sarah Mashkim would get a chance, because there would be a new opportunity to do. The Sarah Ofim would just be there. However, once furloughed, the Sarah Mashkim returns to his position of perceived importance, as he not only could not remember Yosef, he actively sought to forget the ordeal and to forget Yosef in the process. And there is where the positive changes to the negative. Sometimes in life it's helpful for us to remember episodes in life that were not so great for us. But it needs to work by keeping us active, active in doing the right thing. And that's where good things come. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're going to read from the book of Amos. Now, what's the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha? And the simple answer is the Haftorah references the idea of selling a tzaddik for money. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal offered a deeper explanation. He opined that the major three episodes of the Parsha, the selling of Yosef, the episode of Yehuda and Tamar, and the episode of Yosef and Mitzrayim, all stem from the challenge of the internal conflict over a dreamer. On the one hand, dreamers can be dimwitted, and their dreams are reflective of personal hubris. But at the same time, a dream can be a source of inspiration and innovation. The brothers of Yosef had no room for inspiration and innovation, and neither did the people at the time of Amos. We sometimes need to give room to see things a little bit differently. Sometimes we need to see beyond the limitations of the exact moment. If we can do those things, I certainly can guarantee that we'll get to that period in time where we will have the ultimate dream, the dream that comes when we will be able to declare and laugh and rejoice when we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha L'chayei Olamim Shabbat Shalom to all.